Lord, stand up and declare that I am an American. In the greatest nation in the world, called the United States of America. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Would you take just these next few moments and during our meet and greet, would you find a fellow American that is proud to be one? Would you just venture out and find another American as proud as you are? Life down, we recognize the power in giving. Giving of ourselves and giving of our lives. We here at Dominion Church love to celebrate laying our lives down and the act of giving our lives for His purpose. And so our ushers are preparing this morning this house to give of our tithe and of our offering. And as you do each week, you come prepared to give. And as you've come this morning prepared to give, if you would raise your hands, we are going to serve you these envelopes that will record your giving. As these are being passed out, let me also remind you that today concludes our time of setting aside 2 weeks of prayer and fasting and asking the Lord what we ourselves might be willing to give of ourselves financially in this next year towards our building program. As you know, 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the opportunity of moving into a season and time of building a house for our Father. And this morning, if you've come prepared to fill out your pledge, just take one of these offering envelopes. And as you're turning off your cell phone and you're beginning to write your pledge, please just give us your name and remember to help us know whether this is a one-time pledge or if this is a monthly pledge. As you might recall, we are believing in this next 365 days between now and July 4th next year, we are believing God through our abilities and through His to raise an additional $250,000 that will go solely towards establishing a house for our Heavenly Father. And everybody in the house this morning that came ready to build a house said, amen. Amen and amen. Would you bow your hearts with us as we thank God for this day and thank God for this opportunity to give? And I'd like to ask this morning if Jason Morgan, who was affectionately known as Uncle Sam in our first service and gave gifts to many, if he would just bless this morning's giving. Amen. As they're receiving our offering this morning, I invite you to join with me in the word of the Lord from Colossians, the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 1. When you arrive at Colossians, chapter 1, you'll be looking for the 16th verse. This morning, I've chosen to read Colossians, chapter 1, verses 16 through 20 from the Living Bible. So as you journey to Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, you'll be reading from your version, and I'll be reading this morning from the version that I feel best represents the truth of what I'll be preaching, and that version is the Living Bible. Today, we pause not only to celebrate our nation's freedom, but we also pause to celebrate those whose sacrificial blood cleared the way for our independence. This morning, as Americans, we choose not to forget. We choose not to forget the men and the women who died and gave to us the right of freedom. And so this morning, I read to you first from John chapter 15, verse 13, that says, greater love hath no man, hath no woman than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, for his family. And in this case, today, the object of our celebration, greater love has no one than this, than a person who would lay down their life for our nation. We choose to pause and call names of those men who have gone before us and secured for us the freedom that we now celebrate. Private Morris Harold Buster Kingery, killed in action as a private in the Army in World War II. We recall Jack Loomis, who was a first lieutenant in the Marines, killed in action during World War II. We remember Eddie Rouse, who served in the Army as a private, Eddie whom was killed in action in World War II. This morning, as we pause to celebrate our freedom, And we choose to remember those who died that you and I might have the right to live free. We remember Captain Herbert Charles Crosby, who served in the Army and while in Vietnam was missing in action. We remember Billy E. Hughes, a sergeant in the Army who was killed in action during the battles of Vietnam. We choose to remember Private First Class Billy William McDonagall, who served in the Marines and was killed in action during the conflict in Vietnam. We pause this morning to remember Sergeant Adrian Edward Sigler, who was a sergeant in the Army who was killed in action during Vietnam. We pause here this morning and we visit a place called the Persian Gulf War, and we honor the memory of Gary W. Krask, who gave, as a specialist, level 4, his entire life for his nation and his country. We remember those who visited Iraq and who laid their life down for you and for me. And this morning, we choose not to forget Private Leroy Sandoval and Sergeant Timothy Haslett. These are but a few, and yet this morning we choose not to forget. For greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends, his family, and his country. In respect to those who have laid their life down for you and for me, let each of us now stand, and while holding the Word of God in our hands, let us bow our heads and our hearts, and for the next 60 seconds, remember those who died and gave us the right of freedom. For those names called and for those names that remain uncalled, each of us, as we remain standing to read the Word, say thank you. We look to Colossians chapter 1 in the 16th verse according to the Living Bible. It tells us that Christ Himself is the Creator who made everything in heaven and earth, the things we can see and the things we can't, the spirit world with its kings and kingdoms, its rulers and its authorities, for all were made by Christ for His own use and for His own glory. He was before all else began, and it is His power that holds everything together. He is the head of the body made up of His people, that is, His church, which He began. And He is the leader of all. He's the leader of all those who arise from the dead, so that He is first in everything. For God wanted all of Himself to be in His Son. It was through what His Son did that God cleared a path for everything to come to Him, all things in heaven and all things on earth. For Christ's death on the cross has made peace with God for all by His blood. Friend, this morning, I want to preach a sermon that I've entitled, The Path of Freedom. For friend, the path of freedom has always been paid by someone's sacrificial blood, by someone willing to lay down their life and in death give someone else the right to live. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we celebrate the path of freedom secured for us by others and secured for us by You. Their blood was a picture of Your blood, and Your blood pictures for us a path of freedom each and every day. On this day, we rejoice. And we choose to be glad, for in Your blood there was enough for the ground that we stand on. And this day, as we stand and celebrate our pride in being an American, we pause to remember with great pride what it took for us to stand and be called Christians. For what it took was your blood. And we celebrate that blood this day. For it was the price that paved the path of our freedom. And we pray that in the wonderful name of the Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I believe it was very significant that three well-known words, "We the people," opened the preamble of the Constitution of the United States of America. Because I believe the greatness of this nation never has been, nor will it ever be, in its programs, its resources, or even in its military might. Rather, I believe the greatness of the United States of America is in its people. You see, a nation can never be greater than its people, and the greatness of the people will always be defined by the depth of their relationship with and to Almighty God. It's an act of Almighty God's blood that serves for you and I as the path for people. It serves for us as a path toward our freedom and a path toward the intended greatness He has for us. This 4th of July, we honor those whose sacrificial blood purchased our freedom, and we take the time to remember, to respect, and to appreciate our salvation, which was bought by not just any blood, but by heaven's sacrificial blood. My friend, freedom, it doesn't come cheaply, and it doesn't come easily. I came across this article written not long after 9/11. It's entitled "The Sacrifice." I believe it has much to say about the power of sacrificial blood, about the power of laying your life down for family and for friends, about laying your life down for a flag, for a nation, and for a country. The sacrifice. On an early morning late in May, a brand new son was born, naked and innocent, tiny but strong. His mother tired, his mother torn. And as she cried to the heavens, "Deliver me, I pray," on an early morning late in May, a little soldier was born that day. On an early morning late in June, proud in his uniform, steady and strong, a young man marched too young, too soon, convinced that the war wouldn't last very long. On an early evening on the 4th of July, a brave soldier hugged his mother goodbye. And they both said a prayer as they tried not to cry for all of the soldiers that were going to die. And as a poison fell from the heavens above him, he thought of the mother who would always love him. And as he cried in the desert, "Deliver me, I pray," a son went home to his father that day. Naked and innocent, wrapped in a flag, the Medal of Honor on a body bag. What cost do you put on the life of a son if just one life is lost and your son is that one? Freedom comes at a terrible price. One mother, one son, one sacrifice. Now in a field of freshly marked graves, a mother kneels down and a flag proudly waves. A nation mourns from sea to shining sea, bowed but not broken, wounded but still free. The path of freedom, it's been paved by someone's sacrificial blood. Turn with me now to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews chapter 9. And as you journey to Hebrews chapter 9, you'll be looking for verses 24 through 28. Again, I'll be reading from the Living Bible, for it's there that we again see the power of someone's sacrificial blood. Hebrews chapter 9 begins in verse 24, and it says this: "For Christ has entered into heaven itself to appear now before God as our friend. It was not in the earthly place of worship that He did this, for that was merely a copy of the real temple in heaven. Nor has He offered Himself again and again, as the high priest down here on earth offers animal blood in the Holy of Holies each year. If that had been necessary, then He would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But no, He came once and for all at the end of the age to put away the power of sin forever by dying for us, or by laying His life down for us, by allowing His blood to be spilled on our behalf that you and I might find the path of freedom. Verse 27 says, "And just as it is destined that men die only once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ died only once as an offering for the sins of many people. And He will come again, but not to deal again with our sins. This time He will come bringing salvation to all of those who eagerly and patiently wait for Him." Today we celebrate two paths of freedom. Both paths bought by someone's sacrificial blood. The first path that we celebrate this morning is the path of freedom that has lasted for Americans some 228 years. The second path that we celebrate, the second path of freedom, is the path that will outlive and outlast us and will live and last for all of eternity. One path bought by the blood of men and women. They were that one man, that one son, that one sacrifice. The other path bought by the heavenly Son, bought with heaven's blood and heaven's sacrifice. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 encourages you and I to celebrate both paths and to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty and the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free, or where Christ has cleared a path of freedom with His blood, that we be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I've come to remind you of two things this morning. Thing number one, His blood cleared a path for our deliverance. Not just our deliverance, but my deliverance. Beneath me and the path I walk is a ground that is stained with one Son and His sacrifice. Luke chapter 4 says that He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and He came to recover the sight of the blind and to set at liberty them that were bruised. There was a day that He came, and with the power of His blood, He purchased me on my path of living and my path of life. He carried a freedom to me. Me, the poor individual. Me, the one that was brokenhearted. Me, the one that was held captive. He came to me, the person that was blind and the person that was bruised. And friend, this morning, with His blood, He cleared a path for my deliverance so that my eyes could see, so that my wounds could heal, so that my life could be saved. And so I remind you, number one this morning, His blood cleared a path for our deliverance. Number two, His blood cleared a path for our healing. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 says that He bare our sins in His own body on the cross, that you and I, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes we would be healed. I remind you, friend, that on your journey through life, you will find yourself on many paths. And many times you will not have chosen that path for yourself. For who of us in this room would choose to walk a path of sickness and of disease? And yet ever before we saw that path, you and I are reminded that His blood came to us in that place of sickness and disease. That beneath us, in and on this path, is a blood of healing that comes to us and says, when you cannot do it for yourself, when the doctors say one thing, I will say and do another. Because my blood, in not just that day at Calvary, was bore on your behalf for your sins, but in my blood that day, there was something that ran down my face, trickled beyond my body, and touched the ground beneath where you stand. And to this day says that by my blood and by my stripes, you are healed. So I remind you, friend, this morning that His blood not only cleared a path for your deliverance, but it cleared a path, number two, for your healing. And finally, friend, this morning I remind you, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, that His blood cleared a path for our salvation. 1 Corinthians says in the first chapter in the 18th verse, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You see, the blood, it cleared a path for your salvation. And on that path, that cross still stands. It is the standard. And when hell itself comes against you, you have at your disposal, because of the blood-stained ground beneath you, His power within you, that when hell itself comes against you and it comes in like a flood, something begins to well up inside of you. It's called liberty. It's called freedom. It's called salvation. And you can begin to declare by the Word of God that the power of salvation is for such a time as this, and that the God who saved you for eternity is the same God who can save you now. And you can call upon the name of the Lord, and His power will come to your place on the path, and it will save you. Romans chapter 10 says in the 9th verse, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, friend, there is a path beneath you. A path of freedom that was bought by someone's blood. There are those that paid the ultimate sacrifice here on earth, and through their blood secured for you to stand in the United States of America and be proud of your freedom. And yet beneath their blood, there is a fountain of blood that has never stopped flowing. A blood that continues to clear a path for your healing, for your deliverance, and for your salvation. And so this morning, I move from this place, a place where I speak of His blood, down to the altar. And I remove the covering. A covering that reverently beneath it is more than just the preaching of His blood and His body. But it's here that you and I, in this place at the altar, celebrate His blood and His body. Friend, it's important this morning to recognize that throughout this house, where every person stands or sits, are pathways. It's important for us to recognize that for every person, there is a path. And yet, as each of us are here today on that path, there is great need for freedom. While on the outside, we celebrate America's freedom, perhaps on the inside, we live in a state that is not free, held back by sin, held back by sickness, held back by bondage. And so we come to this place. And as our ushers come, we begin to take in our hands the symbols of His blood, the symbols of His body. that reminds us the cost to heaven for the pathway of freedom beneath each of us. And so as the ushers begin to serve to you these symbols, take these symbols of His blood and of His body. Take them into your hands. And even now as they put them in your hands, recognize that you hold liberty and freedom. Friend, some of you have already been served the blood, the symbols of the blood. I want you to begin to recognize that quite literally in your hands, you hold the symbol of someone else's blood, of someone else's body. And in respect, in fear and admonition of the Lord, I'm going to ask for every person to be reverent in this house. I'm going to ask that we move our attention from one another and move from having conversation and distraction with one another to having conversation and communication with Him. For today, this morning, July 4th, 2004. You hold the blood. You hold the body that it cost heaven that you might have an eternal path of freedom to celebrate. So for the next 60 seconds as we quietly listen to this powerful song played, think about what it cost heaven for your freedom, for your salvation, for your deliverance, and for your healing. In these next 60 seconds, take these moments to confess the sin that separates you from that salvation and confess the need for that Savior who washes and makes you whole and clean again. And so would you please, my friend, make these next 60 seconds moments in the altar of God. Thank you.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
As you hold this sacrificial blood and the body of heaven in your hands, I want to return to celebrating the two paths. I want you, as you hold someone else's blood and body in your hands, I want you to join me. Come with me first to the flag. And not just to the neatly pressed flag with the beautiful reds and whites and blues. But I want you to journey with me to the man and the woman standing on foreign soil, not holding a flag on the outside, but carrying the colors and the truth and the price of freedom on the inside. I want you to come with me back to Vietnam, back to World War I, back to World War II, back to Korea, back to Vietnam, back to the Persian Gulf, back to the place where one man, one son, one mother's prayers, and one sacrifice stood on a battlefield. See, very quickly as we go back, we lose the sight of these beautiful colors, and we start to see the color of the price of freedom. We start to see the moments just before that sun, just before that sacrifice was laid down for you and for me. More than a moving musical and fireworks which cause us to clap. We go back to this moment to remind ourselves the price, the path of freedom beneath us, costs someone else's blood and someone else's body. Oh, what did that moment feel like to the 18-year-old boy who had his whole future in front of him? He dreamed of returning and getting married and having children and having a family. He dreamed of what it would be like to take his children first to this sporting event and then to that event. Only in a moment to realize he was only destined but to live 18 years and then pay for our freedom with his blood and with his body. Oh, as you think about that last moment in that 18-year-old boy's life, think about that mama and her prayers who prayed for freedom, but quietly in the secret of her heart prayed that it would be someone else's son who would be the sacrifice. Where was she when it was her son who modeled greater love as no man than this? And oh, as we move from that path, the path to the flag and our freedom of 228 years. Let us also walk in our hearts down to the path that leads to the cross. Oh, see, friend, we must humbly, somberly, and reverently visit these paths over and over again. For we must learn the tremendous opportunity to celebrate our freedom. Because it's here, right here. One son and one sacrifice paid for a freedom that would go beyond 228 years. It would pay for your freedom and for mine for all of eternity. Oh, go to the moment when in his last few breaths, he looked out and saw all of humanity, including us. And he said, "For the joy set before me, will I lay my life down that they might have in my blood a path cleared for salvation, deliverance, and healing. Oh, friend, there's no path like the path to the cross. There's no place like the cross. For it's at the cross where you and I first see the light. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, each of us standing now, not on the path that leads to the cross, but each of us now standing to our feet in this building, recognizing that we're back at the cross, seeing all over again in our hands and upon our hands His blood and His body. We take this moment to all over again, fresh and new for some, or perhaps for the very first time for others, we invite Him off that cross and into our hearts with this prayer of confessing faith. Dear Heavenly Father, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive me for all of my sins. Forgive me for falling short of your glory. As I take this blood and as I take this body, I do so recognizing that it is the path of my salvation, my deliverance, and my healing that I now declare in Jesus' name, the Jesus who is and was and always will be my Savior. As I turn this morning to Corinthians, we find there the reminder that you and I are to remember this cross, and we are to practice the truth of this cross's love in our lives on a daily basis. And that one of the ways that we do that is we take time, and with that time, we partake of the Lord's Supper. And in 1 Corinthians 11, it says in the 23rd verse, "For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Reverend Guidry, would you, in remembrance of him, pray blessing over today's partaking of the bread? Would you hold heaven's body back towards heaven? And would you take this moment to break it and eat of it? In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Pastor Clint, would you pray over the taking of the juice, which is symbolic of the blood that cleared for you and I a path for our salvation, deliverance, and healing? would you lift the blood towards heaven? And would you one more time thank heaven for its blood? And would you partake? We celebrated the paths of freedom that was purchased by somebody's blood, by somebody's body. Friend, 2,000 plus years ago, God knew that we needed a helping hand. And so He reached down from heaven and He took His one Son. And in His hand, He sacrificed Him. He laid Him down that you and I might find faith, hope, healing, and freedom. That you and I might each week be able to come to the sanctuary and celebrate our path of freedom. That each time we came, we could find hope in the cross and we could find He knew that in His hand He would hold the one thing above all things that would show you how much He loves you. Oh, it just feels good to be loved by Him. And today we celebrate that at the House of Dominion. We're thrilled that you chose to celebrate with us. And so as we conclude, would you just extend your hands and would you just celebrate with a time of thanksgiving this day that He has made? And would you choose to rejoice and be glad in this day of freedom, this day of liberty, a day we choose not to take for granted, but a day we choose to remember His blood and His body. In Jesus' name. We're not just proud to be Americans. We're proud to be Christians. We're proud to be purchased by His blood, to be redeemed by His love, and to be overcomers. Now, as we conclude, would you just turn to your neighbor and tell them, this world is a better place because you're in it. This world is a better place because you're in it. Jesus loves.